Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on today, Bucks Nation? This is Luke Costa, your co-host. This is Dr. Perry, the main host, Preface. We're the Believe in Bucks podcast. We are here after the currently route after, like, not even kidding, like, 2 minutes after the Milwaukee Bucks NBA draft pick. And all I have to say personally is, wow. We talked about everyone, probably. We talked over at least 10 to 15 guys in the back. We thought the Bucks were going to pick in this NBA draft. And somehow, they managed to take none of them. Absolutely none of them. Patrick, you know, what's your thoughts before we really get into, I guess, trying to figure out, you know, what A.J. Johnson can bring to the team, you know, his first. For those who don't know, the Bucks actually did draft A.J. Johnson. So we're going to talk about him, figure him out, see what he's got. So, Patrick, yeah, just go ahead, man. What do you think? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm shocked, man. I mean, we're not gonna sit here and say that we were some sort of draft experts. Like, we knew every single player coming out. We knew everything about this draft class, but we have an idea of what the Bucks needed or what we thought that they needed, and just did not see this pick coming. But like, that doesn't mean that he's gonna be bad, and that doesn't mean that, you know, down the line he won't be a good player for Milwaukee. It's just he's not ready to go right now. They said that on the broadcast. They said he's just simply. He's far away from playing a game in the NBA, which is okay, but it's just definitely a different a change of pace, I guess, for the guys that we were projecting. We were talking about older guys, younger guys. He's 20, and he won't probably play a game for us. I'd say he'll play a game for us next year, but, you know, garbage time, like very little minutes. He's probably gonna go straight to the G League, I'd imagine. But yeah, man, shocked. And of course, we did talk about a lot of guys. And we even, like, you know, threw out some second round guys too, who we were like, hey, this could be, you know, right when 33 comes around. And there were a couple guys that were picked right in front of our pick. We can get into that in a second. But for the most part, it was about half and half. There were about half the guys that we talked about that we really had in that player pool of like 8 to 10 were taken. And then the other half was available. And AJ Johnson kind of came out of nowhere, stole the show a little bit.
Yep, absolutely came out of nowhere. So for those of you, I'm not going to lie, this is going to be a little bit for us, a little bit for you guys as well, but I'm just going to go ahead and this is via NBADraft.net from Malcolm Lee. So some strengths for AJ Johnson. So if you guys didn't see a little bit of the highlights, this guy is a guard, 6'5 guard. I won't lie, he's very, very quick guy, combo guard. This is right here with untapped potential, quote, tantalizing skill set, physical attribute, potential, has a league level speed with great ability to get by defenders off the dribble. Defense shows upside with very quick feet and long arms, can become a lockdown defender over time if he gets stronger and sets his mind to it. Longer than he looks at 6'5 with a near 6'9 wingspan, 8'6 standing reach, which is standout size for a guard, which is very true. And he does have bun knees. That boy can get up. That boy comes upstairs for sure and knows how to punch it. But, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I'm definitely a little bit conflicted. You know, I'm not really sure what to think about this pick. I don't know if this fits, you know, fixes a need or anything going on that we have for this team, to be honest. But I think it's something, I guess, I'm just very conflicted because I thought there was a lot of options that we talked about. Obviously, Deron Holmes goes right before us, which is someone that I know you really wanted to get at, Patrick. We were talking about the Kyle Flip deal, pick. What they were saying on the draft board. That's what Malika Andrews and a lot of the guys on there were talking about. And I really thought that was going to end up being the pick. But I don't know. Like, we didn't. Not only did we not get so. Now my main thing was, all right, we're at least get size, right? That was my main thing personally. I really thought that size was going to be the main issue coming from this team or a bench core. So not only did we not get size. Not only do we not get someone who is going to be, you know, a viable option for us off the bench within the next year or 2 years or 3 years, because this guy is a project, not to discredit him by any means at all, by the way. Shout out AJ Johnson for getting drafted. Congratulations on being a Bucks player. Welcome to Milwaukee. We're happy to have you no matter what, because I'm not going to sit here and say that I could be an NBA level talent. But it's just very, I don't feel like we feel the need. On top of that, we ended up picking a guard who doesn't look like, as of right now, is not standing out on the defensive end of things. He's really skinny, he's tiny, but that's one thing that I'm not really too worried about, because you see NBA players come up and we see them, you know, put on weight and we see them bulk up and things like that. But what really is just, it just does not fill a need for this team right now. And that is honestly what is blowing my mind, because I just don't see how we're supposed to be able to take, you know, why we're going to take a gamble or take a jump, you know, on a project player like this, especially after some of the moves that we've seen in the East already. The New York Knicks are right there behind us. They just made the trade for Michael Bridges, which is what we're going to get into a little bit later. But Patrick, I just wanted to ask you, just I don't know, what are you hoping for him in the next coming seasons, you know? And I guess what's the thought process of the front office with a pick like this, you know?
Well, there's always that chance where a player where they say is like a super project or something like that actually ends up surprising a lot of the front office people, or maybe not surprising like a lot of the front office people within the Bucks, but surprises people outside of the Bucks organization, if that makes sense, where they had a grade on him where he's not going to play in the NBA for another year or two. Well, maybe the Bucks had a higher grade and they say, hey, we know that this guy can be like, can be on the roster and get some minutes and then end up like progressing faster than usual. So I'll say this, who knows? Because I remember like, hey, back in the day, Kristaps Porzingis, it was said initially he wasn't going to be in the NBA for a couple years. Like he was going to stay like, and not like be in the organization full time. I remember when he was drafted. And that wasn't the case. He immediately played and he was pretty darn good, especially right out the gate for a guy who may have not been able to play. So I'll say that. And then on the other hand, I'll say, no need to rush AJ Johnson. He is not on the same timeline as this Bucks team, so there's no need to rush. I would say realistically, if that's not going to be the case, if we don't have like some sort of different progress chart for this young man, then there's no need for him to play like realistically very much for the Bucks. If this is the case and what they told us on the broadcast, then I don't want to see him out and be thrown out to the Wolves. Alongside two Hall of Famers, potential Ring of Honor, and Chris Middleton, like there's no need. There's no need to waste their time and have him thrown out there and then upcut like AJ Green or any of the young guys that we got as well on the team and anybody in the backcourt. So I'm not really looking for him to play, gonna have any unrealistic expectations. You did mention something though that I did want to get into really, really quick. And that was like that Deron Holmes was chosen right before us. It looks like that they were just going to go with AJ Johnson because they weren't looking ahead at what some of the teams were doing, but instead they were looking behind them and they were worried that AJ Johnson was going to be gone by 33.
Yeah.
Deron Holmes was taken right before us because the Nuggets went up and got a guy that they thought could plug and play for their depth. And the Suns wanted to move back to get picks. They got 2 second rounders and then they swapped and got the 28th pick. So like, they were just trying to get get some value with that pick, and the Nuggets just wanted a guy to plug and play. And who knows if we would have got Deron Holmes, but I just think it's really interesting that was a guy that was mocked to the Bucks for a while, who was chosen right ahead of them. I don't know. Maybe they just said, "Hey, we want Deron Holmes at 23, and then AJ Johnson at 33," and they just took AJ Johnson at 23. I don't know. I doubt that's the case realistically, because that just seems like very lazy work. But who knows? Because this draft is super weird. It's tough to gauge how these GMs are picking, because there's the talent pool is just a little different. Not saying it's like really, it's all that worse. I know that's kind of everybody's saying, is this bad or is this as bad as 2000? I don't know. But I think some of the decisions that some of these teams are making are a little bit different than compared to some of the other years. Like we just saw the Spurs trade Rob Dillingham for a 2031 unprotected and then 2030 pick swap. Like it's a little unusual, especially for a lottery pick.
Yeah, I think it definitely is, and I think I love you mentioned that. I don't think the talent pool is any worse. I think it's just a little bit different than what we've seen before in the past, especially with a lot of these explosive offensive players, big name players, celebrities. Obviously, we got Jared McCain, this guy, who was honestly a social media celebrity with like 3.1 million followers on Instagram, 3 million followers on TikTok. But real quick, I just want to read off. Obviously, I'm not going to hold this against him because he did not play that many games in Australia. AJ Johnson, but last season he had 2.3 points per game, 1 rebound, 0.6 assists, 0.2 steals, 0.9 blocks. So you can see that he barely played as it is. So I think it is going to be, like you said, not a case of us rushing him into the system, rushing him into the league, really letting him grow and just flourish and finding his way in the NBA. But I just going back to what is going around the league, a couple of guys that we talked about that we would have loved to see in the Bucks share end up getting picked. Obviously, Tristan DeSilva went to the Magic, which I think will be an interesting fit. For sure, East Missy goes a couple picks before the Bucks picks as well, which I think is someone that we were talking about really getting. Khalil Ware went a lot earlier, who would have been super nice, who we really did like. We loved him a lot, but he goes a little bit earlier. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going around in the league right now. And like we said, and I just want to talk about Patrick. I know I'm kind of taking the lead on this one, but, you know, I just – the ideas are
flowing. Go ahead.
The mindset, yeah. And so talking about stuff that's going on in the league, a huge, super, super huge topic I think we should talk about, even though it's not necessarily draft talk, is something that happened right before draft day. It's definitely going to be shaping out this Eastern Conference that we – that we're going to be playing in, obviously, next year. The New York Knicks getting – Mikal Bridges, and then a day later managing to keep OG Anunoby and still pay him five years for like $212.5 million. Patrick, go ahead, lay it on me. Tell it to me. What are we thinking right now? What's going on? What does this mean for the Bucks?
Well, yeah, I'll tie this into the draft. I'm just gonna say this right now. Like, there are a lot of teams that got better over the last few days, and the Bucks are probably not one of them, right?
Yeah,
just sadly. And I think that this will lead into us talking in a second about, like, I think this almost guarantees that we're moving this curve.
We're changing
a lot about this cap, because we did not take a plug and play guy, and we took a guy who's very far from playing. And in general, if there was somebody in between those two things, those two molds of a player, we didn't get close to
that. Yeah, we didn't get them.
So I think this means that we're definitely going to move some of the people around. I'd imagine that one of the guys on our bench, one of the scorers, are going to get moved. I think Bobby Portis probably – I think they want to change something up, or we're just running it back. Maybe they're confident. And look, I like this core, so I'm not saying to chase the core, but I think that they're going to have to make a move, because as far as it is right now, we're losing – Pat Beverly, Jay Crowder's gone, but whatever. And then Malik Beasley is also probably going to be gone. So we're losing three guys right there that are kind of – well, Jay Crowder was in and out of the rotation. But there's like two pretty decent-sized rotation pieces. So, like, we gotta figure it out. Like, what are we going to do, right? Are we going to move Pat Connaughton? Are we going to move Bobby Portis? I don't know. But what I do know is that the Miami Heat got – size. I know a lot of them kind of wanted that score that could just score on his own. That's why they gave up so much to get Terry Rozier. But they're still looking for that. They're at a bit of a crossroads right now too, because I think Jimmy Butler's going to test free agency after this year. So they're probably just preparing for the future. They just re-signed Bam. They got him size. They might move him to the four. We'll see about that. I think the Heat did get better. And then also, I do, like you said, the Knicks. I don't know. The Nova Knicks, right now, it's going on. They might try to make a run if they get off that Randall contract to try to go get Paul George. That could be a part of their sign-in trade to make the cap situation work. I don't really know what the Clippers would want to do with Julius Randall, if I'm being completely honest. I don't really know if that's something that is enticing to them. But maybe if they package, like, another young guy. Isaiah Hartenstein, I think he's we'll see what happens with that. Like, yeah, I believe he's going to free agency. So
and then someone's going to pay him, and that's not going to be us. We are not going to be the guys to pay him.
Yeah, we will not. Looking at the Cavs, they kind of look like they're figuring out they got a guard from out of Cal. So who knows? It's all depending on Donovan Mitchell for them, realistically. So
I think it's very interesting, and I love that you brought up real quick. Just love that you brought up that Cavs organization, because it's obviously a guy that we did that we brought up slightly earlier. We talked about Rob Dillingham getting traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Rob Dillingham has been very much compared to Darius Garland, who's obviously a Cavs guard. And I think that's obviously that's one trade, one of the big ones, I think, that we've seen on this first year of the NBA draft. Because I'm not going to lie, I think that trade works for both of them. Because I saw him get drafted by San Antonio, and I was like, wow, this is actually – so perfect. They get a really creative guard. You know, they get a really a scoring, you know, elite guard, you know, who's so crafty on the ball, but can finish at the rim, can do all three levels, is a great playmaker, you know. And then obviously you have, you know, the roster and the pedigree at San Antonio. They breed winners, you know, they breed championship with players. I'm not gonna say that I thought Rob Dillingham fit the mold, like in terms of like his, you know, like what, like his aptitude and like his energy, in terms of like originally, but I think in terms of filling the need for that team, he fits. But then you go and ship him off to Minnesota, and now he's with Anthony Edwards, he's with Karl Anthony Towns, you know, he's with Nikhil Alexander Walker, and obviously they need to figure out a guard situation right now with Mike Conley aging, only getting older, and he's going to be out of there soon enough. So now you take, you know, Rob Dillingham under your wing with this. Absolute veteran point guard, composed poised point guard in Michael Conley. Excuse me, I could not get off my words there. So I think that's such a huge move, especially in the West. I think that's going to be a really big thing for them. Rob Dillingham was one of the most exciting players that we were going to see, you know, in this NBA draft class. But yeah, I mean, we passed up on Keyshawn George, passed up on Kyle Filipowski. You know, now Keyshawn George goes right after us. You know, it's, I think it's really interesting times, right? You know, here in the Milwaukee front office, man. I really don't know what to think. I'm definitely conflicted. I'm not going to sit here and say that that I'm ecstatic with the pick, but I'm not upset. And the reason I was doing some research while you were talking, and a lot of the potential offseason targets that I saw us, like, you know, looking for were these combo guards. You know, and that's exactly what I assumed this front office was going to do. I assumed, okay, we're going to go big in the draft because this is a very talented big draft class, especially defensive guys, which is why I think that this draft class has been viewed as less talented. I think it's just a lot more guys who are willing to put the ball on the other side of the floor, you know, put that effort in, and they're big guys. So I was really thinking that we were going to go get this combo guard in free agency now. But now it looks like that, like you said, we're going to be moving some big, huge pieces, you know. So, yeah, man, it's just like it's definitely very interesting. And I was gonna ask, you know, some names that you think we could potentially we could be looking at in free agency, but I didn't want to put you on the spot, so I was just,
I don't know. What I would like to see in free agency, we got to get cap space because we are strapped right now. We don't have anything to spend. We just don't have anything to spend. We just don't have anything right now. I don't know exactly who we would target because I don't know what's realistic. I don't know. Like, we would have to – right now, if I'm looking at it, like, we're going to shove A.J. Johnson probably to the G League to start. We got to get off Brook Lopez then. Like, if we really want to make a move, like, we probably got to get off of him because we're, like, what, $23-25 million per year off the top of my head? And then I'm thinking Bobby Portis' contract isn't even that bad realistically. Yeah. I think it's, like, 13 – and a half range, and then Pat Connaughton's $9 million. We're grasping for straws. Like we pay those top three guys a lot of money, and like rightfully so, because like that core can win a championship. In my opinion, like from what I saw when they were on the court last year, that core can win a championship.
No, it could.
And I don't know who exactly we could get in free agency.
Right. No, I think it could too. And I just want to throw a couple of names out there. So obviously Nick Claxton was up there, but he just got paid yesterday. Yeah. He just got his deal.
And we could not afford that.
No, absolutely not. And to be honest with you, I just don't know how. Obviously 11.8 points per game, 9.9 rebounds with 2.1 blocks, averaging about 30 minutes a game. So definitely an established rebounder, shot blocker, you know, rim protector in the league. And that's something that, but let's not forget, Brook Lopez was second in the NBA in blocks this season. So rim protecting isn't really something that we're really struggling with. It's more the rebounding side of the ball and simply just him getting up there in age more than anything. But then obviously Alexander Hartenstein, who is probably we are not going to be able to afford to pay him. Then we got Jonas Valanciunas, who I would love to stay away from. He's getting up there in age. It's literally the same exact situation as Brook Lopez. The guy averages 12 and 8 rebounds in the NBA last year. He's been a double-double machine his whole career. Shout out Big Jonas, but he's not a guy I really like to see in the Milwaukee Bucks shirt in the upcoming season. You got Andre Drummond, who's an unrestricted free agent, who's his salary last year was $3.3 million. I'm not really a big fan of him, to be honest. But these are just some of the top ones, quote-unquote more notable ones. But these are a couple of guys that I honestly wouldn't mind, I guess, taking a chance on. These are, I guess, the guys that are considered a little bit lower, you know, than the guys I named before. We've got Mo Wagner, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent for the Magic. But he has a team option, but I definitely see him staying. You got Daniel Tice for the Clippers, who I don't really know who I want on the team. A big name who honestly that just caught my eye, to be honest, Kevin Love from the Heat. I know he's up there in age, you know, but I don't know how. I just feel like that's something that could be a little temporary, like, you know, we'll fix to hold the glue together just for a little bit until we can really figure out something else, you know, in the upcoming seasons. Another veteran center who can space the floor. He's also a much better rebounder than Brook Lopez. And he's been doing his bits in my but he's been doing exactly what he's been needing to do out there in Miami, you know. So I definitely think that and like I said, they just got Khalil Ware to probably, you know, do what Kevin Love has not been doing. You know, I think that's going to be the new thing. It's going to be Bam and Khalil Ware together versus Bam and Kevin Love. So I think that that's just some of the names I think I could hopefully see us going for, you know, especially in this free agency, knowing now that we drafted a combo guard, but it's going to take a bit of time to develop, you know, coming forward. And it's really frustrating too, because a lot of the one of the very top picks that I saw too was that Alex Caruso trade, and of course he, you know, and gets traded. And I just felt like that fit would have been so nice. That fit would have been so good. Obviously, we got Dario Saric is all there, very versatile wing. 2024, he made $2.7 million. I honestly think this isn't a horrible pickup. I think he's a very underrated pick. Precious Achiuwa is up here. Don't really know how I feel about him. Okay, Eubanks for the Sun. I think Eubanks honestly wouldn't be horrible. He's probably one of the best backup centers in the NBA. But I don't know, man. There's just so much to unpack here with this pick, and it's just now I just got my head swirling. Like, where do we go from here? You know?
Yeah. So I think like free agency is gonna. We'll know more like with free agency as far as what we end up doing over the next 2 weeks. I think less so about tonight and tomorrow, unless we get involved in some sort of like sign and trade ordeal. But I don't see that because we just don't have the cap room to do that. AJ Johnson's just not ready to play right now, and he's 160 pounds.
Yeah, bro. He's
tough. I like him. So you mentioned like the combo guard, like mold. I like that. I like that for the Bucks, but he's a boomer bust kind of guy. And as far as this roster is constructed, we need like a few different things. We could have went anywhere realistically with this pick. Like we could have went with a big man. We did go with the combo guard. We could have went with a guy who can a ball dominant guard too. Like we realistically could have done that as well and have him come off the bench at like a plug and play. We could have had a wing that was maybe more like, like a more plug and play kind of wing. I mean, Dalton Connect, I think honestly, if he was there, we might have taken him. Who knows? I have no idea, but I did want to shed to light a little bit about John Horst's draft picks for the Bucks.
Oh, please
2017 DJ Wilson and Sterling Brown. 2018 Dante DiVincenzo. Would have been nice if we kept him. 2020 Jordan Nwora. That was in the second round. And then 2021, two guys you never heard of, both 54 and beyond. So I'm not going to, fault him. But 2022 Marjan. 2023 Ajax and Chris Livingston. Livingston, excuse me. And then 24 AJ Johnson.
Yeah, it's not a really nice track record, to be honest.
Most of these picks are really late, so it's tough to get value to
that him. Is fair.
Yeah, no, he's not even close. He's not even close. None of these guys are rotation guys outside of the recent dudes that we picked up. And yeah, he might be figuring it out, but
no, absolutely. I think he's missing the mark a little bit, but just talking about some other teams who made some good picks. Patrick. In my opinion, I was going to review it in mind. I was going to just – I think it's not fair to really talk about. Yeah, I'm going to say we talked about a lot of other draft picks, and I wanted to just mention a couple of the draft picks that I think are going to be very, very, very good picks. Maybe some way too early, rookie predictions and stuff, but I think one of the picks that I'd love, to be honest, was Stephon Castle to the San Antonio Spurs. I think that pick is going to be so, so, so good for them. He's coming from UConn, just coming off of a championship. And like I talked about that franchise earlier, they know how they love picking winners. They love picking nitty gritty guys. 6'6" guard with a great defensive mentality. Absolute monster on the ball. He guards the best player at all times. He's always guarding the best player, and you can do anything you need him to do. He's going to pass the ball. He's going to shoot. He's going to get an open space. Like I said, I think this is a really good player, especially with him, Devin Vassell, and Wemby all coming together. I think that team's going to be really excited to see. Can't wait to watch that team in the summer league, of course. Who knows if Wemby plays? I doubt he will. He just came off for rookie of the year season and led the NBA in blocks per game. So I really don't think he'll play. But obviously, I think Stephon Castle is a great pick. I would love to talk about just the French dominance in the NBA recently. With the two first overall picks, obviously, and I think that those I'm forgetting the first name again. I know Alex Sarr, but I can't remember Zachary. I can't remember. I don't know how to say his last name.
Rizishe, I think.
Rizishe. I love those two picks. We'll have to see that type of influence in the NBA coming overseas. Obviously the last. Two number one picks have been French overall born players. This is the first time I think two overall players have not been from the U.S. and not been from college since like 2003 or something like that. So it's really just an absolute surge of just talent from all over the globe coming into this league. But yeah, I think those are just a couple of the good picks. And then Jared McCain in Philadelphia, I think that's honestly a pretty good pick too. I think they needed some spacing. They just needed another guy who could we saw whenever Tyrese Maxey was the only scorer on the floor, they really struggled to shoot the ball in a really effective clip. Obviously, you had Melton coming off the bench doing his thing. Tobias Harris, who is he? Yeah, that's what I thought. And I'm not going to lie to you. It has not been that good in the Sixers, sure. Can't believe they paid that guy with Jimmy Butler. Wow, oh, my goodness, disgusting. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff to unpack about this draft. Patrick, if you had any picks that stood out to you or anything, go ahead, feel free to mention them. I've kind of taken over this episode. I'm not going to lie. But I was just
I'm going to say I'm going to take your question and just change it up a bit. it's not the picks so far, because I think you've covered everything. We've covered the picks that the guys
are Oh,
Reed Sheppard, yeah. But I was going to say it's the guys still available right now. Boston is picking. They're on the clock right now, so we'll see exactly who they pick. But then that's the end of the first round. There are still some guys that we have talked about. Flip. He's still available. I think, I mean, he could go to Boston like right now. That feels like a Boston guy, but Kyle Filipowski. That feels, that feels like a Boston guy. So we'll see. Jury's still out, but you have a chance to really flip a lot of things around, right? If we get him at 33. So I'm thinking 30. Tyler Kolek. Yep. Did Tyler Smith get chosen from the G League Ignite?
I don't think so.
I'm looking at it right now. No, I don't see it. So this is a guy that we talked about, Bobby Clintman. I'm looking at Harrison Ingram as well. These are guys that we talked about for 23 that all these guys are still going to be available at 33 for the most part, like unless they all just go back to back. Kevin McCuller out of Kansas is going to still be available. So I'm really interested to see what move they go with in the second round. I honestly think they might try to do a plug and play guy in the second round. This draft is really unusual. These are guys that could have went when we picked at 23. And I could see them taking them at 33. I'm very interested also in the summer league and seeing how AJ Johnson is, because it could be his make or break kind of moment in a sense, right? Like, not for his career, but to show us where exactly he's going to start. Maybe he does start in the NBA and then doesn't start in the G League if he plays well in summer league. I just want to see exactly how he's going to respond. He needs to put on weight. That size is an issue.
I think being
160, I think they had him at 167 and they had him at 6.5 in shoes. I think he measured like 6.4 combine. That's really bad, but he didn't really look that skinny in the videos that we saw, but like, yeah, that's a little unusual.
No, I didn't. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying and I know that some fans are going to, they're going to pick out the stats from overseas play.
That's fair to him.
That's so tough. I've seen some of the most ridiculous. I've seen some of the most ridiculous stat lines. It's funny, right? I believe it's like 2.8 points.
Yeah,
around there, or 2.9. That's funny when you think about it. Like, oh man, from even from people who like follow the NBA like us. Like you think to yourself, really?
Yeah.
2.9.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Absolutely. All right. Yeah, I guess so.
You. Yeah, we'll see where it takes us, you know. Yeah, but like you said, I didn't want to bring that up and kind of grill that on him, because I don't really think that's fair. He didn't really play that much overseas basketball as it was. Like you said, definitely a project kid. He was one of the only lottery picks not invited to the NBA green room. He actually came down from the stands. Yeah. I don't know if y'all peeped that. He was sitting with Jalen Green. So I'm not going to lie, I'm a huge fan of Jalen Green. I think that guy has a crazy work ethic. All we've seen him do is take an absolute jump since he's entered the NBA. So I think he's among good company, you know. So yeah, but that being said, I think that would be the end of this episode of the Bleeding Bucks podcast post-draft show. I think maybe we'll talk about some of the picks tomorrow. We'll see. We'll leave it up in the air. But this has been the main this has been the co-host, Beluga Costa. That's been the main host, the Pretty Face, Patrick Prevey. Thank you guys for tuning in today for this late episode. Peace out, guys. Go Bucks.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.